appreciate so very much that good humble prayer that we heard this morning, and what wonderful singing. Jan and I thought we'd head south and find a warm spot, and it is. We left the house, it was 14, and got here, it was 17, see? So it is a little bit warmer down here. It's such a blessing to be here the last day of this whole year, to be here and with our brothers and sisters in the Lubbock Church. I may have said this before, I hope so, but I don't think there's another place that I feel more at home, obviously in the Canyon Church, but more of home visiting than I do with you folks in Lubbock. John was talking about showing love one to another, not for another, but to another. And we feel that when we come here. The love that you express to us is so much appreciated. But I don't know where the year went. 2017 seems like we just started with that. Let's go to the first chapter of James. If I have anything on my mind this morning, it'll be that. You know those 10 lepers? Isn't it terrible when a preacher gets up and says a few words, it turns your mind in that direction sometime. That won't be my subject, but think about that. You know, Hannah in the first chapter of Samuel is the same type of lesson, because those 10 lepers, only one of them really give the thanks. Do you realize, first chapter of the book of Samuel, Hannah prayed and asked for something. And she was blessed to have a child. She was barren, and that child's name was Samuel. In the second chapter, it was a prayer of thanksgiving. There's a prayer of petition and a prayer of thanksgiving. So many times, we forget that second part. You know, when we ask for something and expect the Lord to provide that, and He always does, folks. Do you hear me? He always does answer prayer. May not be in the time frame we would like or in the manner we would like, but He does hear His children's prayer. But that prayer of thanksgiving is so much. What's been on so much of our minds, I guess, through December are the gifts that we give each other, and the Lord provides us. And I was thinking about continuing that further, but I want to approach that in a little bit different manner this morning, and that's in the first chapter of James, the fourth verse. Now, I want you to think about this. Here it is, the last day of 2017. I hope you're not like me. You hear many people say, if you're like me, you're always thinking, boy, this next year, I'm going to do some things. You know, I'm going to study my Bible a little bit more. I'm going to get up and make all these promises to myself, which last about 2 days, you know, and then we begin drifting off from that. But when we begin looking at a new year and we begin thinking, I need to get some things accomplished this next year that I had promised to do this last year and didn't, I want you to look at that fourth verse. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Perfect there just means complete. We can never obtain perfection, you know. But look at the second part of that, the fifth verse. If any of you lack wisdom, now, either you believe the Bible or you don't. I want you to look at this verse. When we begin studying the Bible during the new year, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. My subject, I guess, would be more ask, you know, asking for something. To let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and unbridleth not, and it shall be given him. You know, we hear that first chapter of Matthew quoted a lot, 1 and 21, you know, she shall bring forth a child and they shall, in his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. We quote that a lot as Old Baptists. He shall do that. We know that it's going to happen. Well, here's a shall we need to be aware of too. And it shall be given him. Ask for wisdom. Just think about that for a second. When we read our Bible, I know your pastor and all of us, when we read, sometimes say, I have no idea what that verse means. Have you ever thought that? You know, I have no idea. But you study, begin to pray about those things. Maybe later on down the road, you'll think, oh, that's simple. Why didn't I think of that? But ask for wisdom, and it shall be given him. So this new year, as it's coming up, when you pray, ask for wisdom, and he will give you wisdom. Now, the wisdom in knowledge and understanding is so much found throughout our whole Bible. Over in, the way you see those things put together is in Exodus 31, 13th chapter, I believe. Moses was, you'll see, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, all three in that same verse. I want you to think about a three-legged stool on something like that. If one leg's missing, it's just unstable, isn't it? Moses was given wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Now think about old Solomon just for a second. You know, Solomon became king of Israel, and he did not know what to do. When you read that part of Solomon, he didn't. Have you ever had a job that you knew how to do when you first took it? You may have, you know. All the time I was in the service, I'd be assigned to a new job, and I'd think, I have no idea how to handle a job. So all of us, when we move into a new position, have to learn on the job training sometimes on how to do those things. Here Solomon was made king over Israel, and he began to pray because he had no idea how to do the duties that his father David had done. Well, he went to the Lord in prayer, as we read, when he became king, and he asked for understanding, to understand those things that would make him be a better king. You know what the Lord told him? Because thou did not ask for great power, you did not ask for great riches, you did not ask that your enemies would be destroyed, but you asked for wisdom, or for understanding on how to lead the people Israel. The Lord says, I'm going to grant you understanding and wisdom. Of course, Solomon was granted those things. But anytime we pray, I want you to, anytime someone is blessed in the Old Testament or New, and their prayer is answered, look what they're praying for. They're always praying for others, not themselves. Lord, help. You know, I'd like this new Lincoln or whatever. You know, that is a prayer that the Bible talks about as being asking amiss. You know, he'll answer those prayers unless we ask amiss. But if you look at those prayers that are answered in a proper manner, they're always for somebody else. Think about that when we're asking for something from the Lord, even if it's asking for the congregation or grandmas and grandpas and moms and dads are always saying, what can I get the children? But we're thinking about what they need. We're not praying for ourselves to have great riches and those things. Those prayers that are always answered in a positive manner is when people in the Bible are praying for others that they might be blessed. And something just came to mind, and I'm going to mention it anyway. At the little campus in Canyon at WT, we're setting up a Veterans War Memorial for all. There's been 88 WT students that have been killed in war, and we're building a little war memorial to them. Now, our new president, I'm going to make this a biblical subject, is an architect. And when we were showing him the mock-up, we walked around behind that monument, and he said, what you going to put on the back of it? You know, there'll be 88 names and all that on the front. And we told him we really hadn't considered that because we're trying to hold a cost down. It's marble. Well, John 15:13 is one that I thought, greater love hath no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends. That's talking about Christ, by the way, in context. But it's appropriate for that verse. Well, I submitted that to be put on the back, and I've got this email that says, cannot do that. That's a biblical verse on a university campus, and you have to go through a compliance committee to get that approved. because we've got this process. I thought, I've got my own process. So I went straight to the university president. It took him 15 seconds to approve it. The only reason I'm mentioning this is because of those things we asked for. You know what his quote was to me? How can you not approve a quote from the greatest selling book of all time? So, you know, there is a process that the Lord has too. You know, it's not through writing and all of that stuff. So there will be a biblical verse printed on a monument on campus, because it's those things that are honoring God. When we pray, if it honors God, lifts a congregation or a friend or anybody up, or it's for others, that he will hear those things. You know, over in Mark 19, chapter 24th verse, there was a man whose son was possessed. He called him deaf and dumb, and those terms are used in the Bible there, but he was possessed by a great evil spirit. This man went to the apostles, and they couldn't cure him. And he went to Christ himself, and Christ told this man, said, if you'll believe, your son will be healed. And he was. The Lord himself healed that person. The preachers couldn't, you know, the apostles could not, but the Lord himself healed him. And the Lord asked him, said, if you'll believe, I want you to think about this. The man says, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. We sang that as a line in a song a while ago. When you get back to the verse, when we're praying for wisdom, do you really believe he's going to do that? You think, well, I'm instructed to ask for wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Do you really believe that? You know, help our unbelief. He said he shall do that, so he will. Now, that one page over, that fourth chapter, second verse says, you have not because you ask not. Ask. That term we're talking about is ask. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss that you may consume in your lust. That's all of those things we're talking about, asking for the right purpose. When we're praying, always think about the others when we're asking. Or even when we're asking for wisdom and knowledge and understanding ourselves, that's for the benefit of others. So when we're beginning to talk about him, book of Matthew, I believe it's in the sixth chapter. You know, the Lord knows what we're going to, what we stand in need of before we ask. He knows what we stand in need of before we ask. Over in the 65th chapter of Isaiah, and 24th verse, look at the process, the sequence of that. Because he's saying he answers before we ask. And yet while we are yet speaking, he hears us. Look at that sequence. He hears us when we pray. But did you realize he can answer our prayer before we even ask what that is? He knows, we talk about foreknowledge. He answers our prayers before we ask, and yet he hears us while we're yet speaking. Yeah. So when we go to the Lord in prayer and think about all the things that he has promised to give us, what is it, Ephesians 3rd chapter, 20th verse, I guess, he is able to give us what? Exceedingly abundantly above what we ask for or even think. Think about the greatest blessing that we would love for the church or something. Do you know he can exceed that? But he's always what we ask or think. We can be blessed with things that he provides his children, but all through the Bible we're instructed to ask for those things. 17th verse of that first chapter, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. If you ever thought, what kind of gift can I give someone, even if it's for their benefit, do you realize every perfect gift is from above and comes down for our Father? If he gives us those gifts, even whether we ask or not, it's a perfect gift. It's exactly what is our children and stand in need of. Do you realize you're a gift yourself? You think this old sinner is a gift? What is it, John 6:37? Christ said, I come down from heaven. This is so familiar to us. I come down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that has sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that all that thou hast given me, I should lose nothing but raise him up at the last day. Do you realize that you are a gift from the Father to the Son yourself? You were given to the Father. When you think I'm such a sinner, but the Lord loved you so much. Now, we talk about free grace. You weren't free. You were bought and paid for by the precious blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. What a great price that he paid for that. The 10th chapter of John is so precious to all of us. Let me go back there just for a second. Because when we begin looking at John, the 10th chapter, of course the 17th chapter is a prayer that the Lord prayed to the Father himself. But that 10th chapter, in the last part of that, 49th verse, says, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me." This is the 12th chapter. Let's go to the 10th. I'm one page too far over here. When he begins talking about being a gift, the 10th chapter, let's go to the 26th verse. "But you believe not because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life." You know, Romans, 6 and 23 says the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. You know, you think you got to repent. You know, the Lord didn't repent when we were yet sinners. It's without repentance. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man take them out of my Father's hand." You know, you're a gift. We lose gifts sometime. You think, where did I put that? Did you realize? You'll never perish, never, never be lost because of what the Lord has done for us. That last chapter, book of Mark, when we go looking at some of the Mark and Luke too, let me see which one we want to go to. Let's go to Luke, the last chapter of the book of Luke, because here, when we're talking about wisdom and knowledge and understanding and those things that the Lord gives us when he asks for it, I want you to think about after the resurrection. The Lord was on the earth after the resurrection. What did he do during that period of time after he arose? Let's look at the 24th chapter of Luke. That's the last chapter of Luke, starting with the 27th verse. Christ, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Wouldn't you have liked to have heard that sermon? Christ went back to the Old Testament, to those apostles, to his disciples, all of those following him, and began to teach them about himself through the Old Testament. This is after the resurrection. You know, of course, he was with them all the time before then. But let's begin. They thought he was a spirit. They were afraid he was a spirit. 32nd verse, "And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us when he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures?" This was before the resurrection. But look in the 37th verse. "But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit." Christ, they knew Christ had been crucified. They knew he had been hanging on the cross. And yet here he was teaching them about himself all through the Old Testament. Some were so afraid. You know how he proved that he was not a spirit? 44th verse. "And while they were believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have you any meat?" Why would the Bible record that Christ asked for something to eat? Have you any meat? He was showing them that he was not a spirit. He was human. He was had a body after the resurrection, and his body was hungry. Have you any meat? And he said unto them, these words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. Let's go on down. I don't want to do too much reading. Look in that 45th verse. "And he opened their understanding, the Lord opened their understanding after the resurrection on many of things in the Old Testament that were referring to him. He taught them while they were on the earth. He sent them out to preach about the Old Testament, those things being fulfilled. Well, here he was after the resurrection, opening their understanding about the resurrection, about, you know, that he arose. And he opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Pray for understanding. Pray for wisdom. Pray for guidance. And he will open those things to us. It is so many times that we are have doubts and our unbelief that I know I'm asking for things, but you must pray. You've heard this said many times. Pray believing. You know, we have doubts. We have fears that we won't understand so much of that they might understand the Scriptures. Now, wisdom comes from God. Understanding comes from God. All of those things are gifts from God. When you go back in the Old Testament and begin looking at those gifts that the Lord received himself, from the time that he was born on up through the time of the crucifixion, you know that frankincense, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, have you ever thought about why that those were the gifts that were brought to him? These are gifts also that were given Christ when he was in the manger, the scene. Now, when you begin looking at the second chapter of Luke and the second chapter of Matthew, there's about 2 years difference in there, folks. When we begin looking at those manger scenes, which we've seen all over the place, which is good if you understand what the intent of that is. The wise men were not at the manger scene when it was a babe, because all through Luke, which concentrates more on Mary than Joseph. Matthew concentrated more on Joseph, but Luke on Mary. Who was there? Joseph was there. And the babe in the manger, it always refers to him as a babe. When you go to the second chapter of Matthew, it never refers to him as a babe. It refers to him as the young child. This was close to two years later. When we begin looking at Herod, remember Herod, it was his period of time. Have you ever noticed where Herod was from? He was an Edomite. He was south of the Dead Sea. Now, that's a great location, south of the Dead Sea. All through the Bible, the Edomites were trying to destroy Edom, you know. Esau is their lineage, Jacob and Esau. That's the lineage of Esau. Herod was of the lineage of Esau as an Edomite. And yet he was still at Christ's birth trying to destroy him. But when those wise men came from the east, now it doesn't say how many they were. People assume they were three wise men because they were three gifts. Just said wise men came. Why gold? Gold was a gift to kings. This was showing that he was a king. They brought this young child, about 2 years of old, a little bit less, gold, showing that he was receiving the same gift that a child would. What about frankincense? You go all the way back to Leviticus, second chapter of the book of Leviticus, and look at the laws pertaining to worshiping the Lord through the old altars and things. They would put frankincense up on the altar, the high priest would, and he was the one that would always do that. Put the frankincense upon the altar as a sweet-smelling savor. That was a go-between between the worship service and God himself, that sweet-smelling savor that went up. Always when you see the frankincense, it was done by the high priest at the sacrifice. Go to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter and the 2nd verse. God, the Lord, gave himself an offering and a sacrifice to God as a sweet-smelling savor. You see how he accomplished that? He became the representation of that frankincense. God himself, Christ did, offered himself never to man. Christ never offered himself to us to be accepted or rejected for eternal purposes. That was an offering to God himself, And that was a sweet-smelling savor. You know, he received the gold as the king. That frankincense showed that he was an offering, fulfilled that offering to God as that sweet-smelling savor. But what about myrrh? Myrrh is so much in the Old Testament. You know, Joseph, when Joseph was thrown into that pit, those Edomites that came by, the Ishmaelites that came by, they were taking myrrh into Egypt. What was myrrh used in Egypt for? It was had a great value. Have you ever wondered why all these Egyptian pyramids that you see, they find mummies? Did you realize myrrh was the embalming salve that they put on the dead to embalm them? It was a great demand in Egypt for that. They were taking myrrh into Egypt when they took Joseph and sold him. He was sold to those Ishmaelites to take into Egypt. That myrrh shows that it was something to do with death, you know. That 19th chapter, I believe it is, of the book of John, Nicodemus came at Christ's gravesite with what? With myrrh. Now, that's a ointment that they got from a sap of a tree. It smelled a little bit sweet, but very bitter to the taste, I understand. But they used that as an embalming ointment for the dead. So here Christ was given gold, frankincense, which showed he was a high priest, and that myrrh, which was to used, it had a great value, but it only was associated with death when they brought it in to be used for someone. So those gifts that the Lord was brought as a child all represented great things about himself in the Old Testament. Paul talking to the young man Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us. There's a gift given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You know, you received a gift before this world began with a purpose at the end, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Gospel never brought life. It said it brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. What Christ was showing them in that last part of Luke was all about the life that was fulfilled in him. That gospel shows what he had done for us. Have you ever thought about ornaments on a tree? You know, did you realize that ornaments is a biblical subject itself? There's an ornament. What do you think is the most valuable, expensive, beautiful ornament that the Bible talks about? Go to 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter and the 4th verse. And the Bible will tell us when we look at, oh, those are beautiful ornaments on the tree. Look what the Lord says. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament. Here's an ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of a great price. That ornament that the Lord is looking at is a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God as of great, great price. When you begin looking at all of those things in prayer, and we're taught to pray and ask for those things, don't just use those things. Well, I'm going to ask for this. The Lord will not hear that. He will answer before you even ask, because he knows what we stand in need of before that we ask. And while we're yet speaking, he hears those things, but he answers those prayer. But look at wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and ask for that, expecting that it be given unto you. It may not be as we read something and don't understand it, but he will. We either believe the shall or we don't. It said it shall be given unto you. Believe that it will. Help thou mine unbelief, Lord, because when God's children ask for something, We don't have those things so many times because we don't ask for them. He blesses us. He blesses us with eternal life. That's a gift from itself. He has given us eternal life as a gift, but we're instructed also to ask for those things. You know, study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That word is study. By the way, we need to increase in understanding. How do we increase in knowledge? We do that by studying ourselves. The Lord teaches us to increase in knowledge, but we need to do that by the studying of the book itself. Now, rightly dividing the word of truth. Please understand that there's no error in the Bible. We are not dividing truth from error. It's truth from truth. You know, 243 times the word truth is found in the Bible. How do you rightly divide a word, the word of truth, when it's so many times in the Bible? 117 times in the Old Testament, 117 times in the New Testament. And that's no accident, folks. Truth is all through equally from the Old Testament to the New Testament. When you study something, you say, well, that contradicts another verse. It's in our mind. The Bible does not contradict itself at all. When we study to show ourselves approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth, it's not for ourselves. It's not for try to impress others. You know, though, when those people stood on the street corners in the Old Testament with their loud prayers, the Bible always says, well, they received their reward. And you think, what in the world? Somebody standing on the street corner to be seen of men themselves, they have their reward. What reward did they receive? Exactly what they asked for. They wanted to be seen of men. That was what they wanted by praying on the street corner. The Lord granted them what they asked for, to be seen of men. Well, we've got much, much way beyond what that is, because the Lord will grant us the wisdom and the knowledge and the understandings when we ask always for others, when we're praying that we may be blessed and others may be blessed. Solomon, the wisdom of Solomon, when you study him, the dividing of the child, you know, when that was asked, that he asked for that. The Lord granted exactly what he asked for also. But it was none of that was for himself. It was always for the behalf of Israel. Now, Israel asked for something else too. When Solomon was king, Israel looked around all at the other side and saw all those kings. And they wanted a king just like that. And they asked for a king. Do you realize the Lord granted their request and sent them Saul? Terrible, terrible request. They wanted to be like everybody else from the outside. Instead of the great blessings that they had, they asked for a king. They were provided a king. Samuel told them exactly what was going to happen. He's going to take your sons and daughters and put them into war and all of those other type of things. They got what they asked for. We need to be careful what we ask for. But the Lord will permit and give his children what they stand in need of. Eternal life, the great blessing. It's so comforting to know what the old Baptists know and understand that eternal life, grace, and all of those things is a gift from God. We have a close friend that is just living in agony because of a granddaughter who is going in a wayward direction. That person is so afraid that she's been eternally lost. What kind of feeling would that be? Mentioning something to them about, don't worry about it. Salvation in the Bible, when we're talking eternal salvation, that's God's work. Your pastor and I can't do that. You know, that's God's work. We can, and you can too. We can save one another from that great fear and the blessings, not eternally, but we can save one another to the knowledge of the truth. If God grants them the understanding. Understanding comes from God. But what peace that we have, that we don't have to worry about those things. The Bible says that's a yoke that we could not bear. I could not bear a yoke upon myself if I thought I had to say the right words, or your pastor had to say the right words to save someone eternally. I could not bear that, because that's a yoke that we cannot bear. I haven't studied enough or didn't say the right words to convince somebody to have faith, you know, to be saved eternally. Ours is the good news of what the Lord has done for us. You know, one of the greatest gifts that the Lord has ever given us is right here. I want you to think about it. Of all the books that you have in your libraries, there's one that's written by God himself. There's 66 in this book. This is a book that he has given us upon this earth. If we did not have this book as a gift, it wouldn't change our status at all eternally. Wouldn't change what he has done. But this book that he has given us by those inspired writers tells us what he has done for us, a great blessing. So even when we're not to worship the book, by the way, you know, itself, but these are the words of God himself given us as a gift from God of what he has done for us. Pray for wisdom, believing that he will grant that wisdom. Pray for knowledge. Pray for understanding. And it shall be given you. That's a promise. If we believe the shalls in the Bible, that's one that we need to start 2018 with. Ask the Lord to help you understand. Give us wisdom for that. That's easy for me to say, by the way. You know, pray for wisdom and believe that he'll give it, and he will. But see, there's still doubts in this old nature of myself. Is he really going to do that? He says he will. And help thou mine unbelief. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. That's a part of a prayer too. If we ask that, he will grant those things.